Welcome along to Mutchie and Denno. This is our second episode of the season. We're going to get back into the regular swing of things with Andy and Robbie. This is also going to be available on the Wanderers Post as well. It's a brand new app and website from Counterpress, bringing you all the latest features, analysis, news on the Wolves first team, women, academy and everything. So do get involved with that. You can find the Wanderers Post by heading to thewandererspost.news. And you'll be able to stay tuned with Mutchie and Denno throughout the season. Lads, we'll move on to the Stoke City game in just a moment's time. That was a great win. But Mutchie, first of all, you dipped your toe into some radio commentary last week up at Preston.
I did, yeah. I was invited by BBC WM to be a co-commentator alongside Steve Harmon. Steve's a cracking fellow. We had a really good day, I suppose. Rounded off, obviously, with a cracking win. It was fantastic performance, I must say, by the lads. They really showed discipline, took the opportunities when they could. A fantastic following by the Wolves fans. It made for a great day. It was good to see some of the fans outside the ground, have a little bit of banter, you know. But it was a nice, hot, sunny day. 3 points, not an away win for over a year, so it was like a double celebration, really. But I really, really did enjoy it. And it was great to see all the Wolves fans in the masses behind the goal again. 5,600, absolutely tremendous. And it reminded me of old days, really, when we played away from home and the following was just unbelievable. And for me, a standout performance by Fer Lopez on the day. Saying that, all the team really played the part for a cracking 3 points and the first away win for obviously, as we know, quite a while.
What about your own performance, Mutchie? What's your radio discipline like? Were you managing to not butt in and interrupt all the time? How did it go?
Well, personally, I thought it went very well. I showed as much discipline as possible, right? But I do like, as you know, I do like to comment about the football. It's sort of in your blood, isn't it? You know what I mean? So I really enjoyed that. But the funny thing was, at the end of the commentary, the gaffer's doing his little fist pump like Klopp to the supporters, you know, and it caught me by shock a bit, you know, considering it's the first win away from home for a long time. Obviously, he's a new manager in, so I thought he might have just maybe been a little bit calmer after the victory. And there was a bit of industrial language on the on air, but that was sorted in the studio by Daz, and everything was fine.
So was that industrial language from the home supporters? Is that what you're saying?
No, it came from myself, if I'm honest. You know, I was so shocked that he was fist pumping. It caught me by surprise. And I had the headphones on still and the mic. I didn't quite realise. And all of a sudden I went, oh, God, a bit of a boot there, you know. So apologies all round. And they said it was not the first time and not the last it's happened. So I'm not on my own, but saying that, all the time I've done anything in football on the radio or this, I've never done that in my life. So it's a great day. So that's not going to get in the way, is it?
Wouldn't be the first time we've experienced a bit of swearing on air this season. I've had two already at the matches I've worked at. Last week at Brentford, after they beat Spurs, I interviewed Nathan Collins on the pitch, the old Wolves defender, and he dropped the F-bomb on me. As Ofcom insists, I have to apologise for that. And then yesterday, we're recording this on Saturday straight after the Stoke game, yesterday for Palace against Man City, Ryan Cherky said that he played shit in the first half when I was interviewing him on the pitch. And that was another apology.
Bender may have done it then, Johnny.
But there's nothing wrong with a bit of honesty, Johnny, you know what I mean? If he was shit, he was shit, you know what I mean?
Well, exactly.
But he did. I watched him second half and he was different class second half, wasn't he?
Oh, how good is Ryan
Cherky? He was amazing.
Cherky.
And amazing.
And that first goal he scored, his quick feet and the little trickery, he is a good player.
Mind you, Johnny, I don't know if they'll ask me again to do it after that, you know, but...
They've got to get you. Got to get you back, Mutchie.
I enjoyed it anyway.
Brilliant. Well, I'm glad. I bet the Wolves fans were made up to hear you on the airwaves as well. And certainly with a certain generation, it would definitely have resonated with them. Robbie, you were at Molineux.
Yep.
For Wolves Stoke. I mean, that must have been a great day.
Great atmosphere, Johnny. Yeah, the season started really well, hasn't it? As much as you said, you've got 5,600 away fans going to Preston, and it just sums up where the club is at the moment. You know, they're ready to support, they're ready to sort of take off again with regards to hopefully winning a few games, which is the start of the season great, haven't they? A real buzz around the place. Now, today's game, just off the back probably of the Preston game, they've gone into it with a lot of confidence. Obviously, 1-0 down after a minute was a bit of a shock to everyone, but they played, and it was a hell of a strike. I think it was Gallagher that scored the first goal for Stoke. Came out of nothing really. Wolves gave the ball away sloppily, I think, in just the first minute, and he hit it from 25 yards. And it was a great strike inside, didn't have a chance really. But after that, they took control of the game. 20 minutes or so for Lopez again. Much has mentioned him about the Preston game. He absolutely takes control of the game of football. His touches and his awareness on the ball, and he's always looking forward. If he can go forward with the ball, either driving forward or else passing forward, then that's what he does. And I think that brings crowds to their feet, and he's just such an exciting player to watch. And if we've got him all season, then it's absolutely going to be fantastic, and hopefully he stays fit. But then Wolves took over, scored a couple of goals through Gomez, and really controlled the game after that. I know Stoke probably had a few chances with regards to, I think it was Morgan on the left-hand side against Chichao, got too many crosses in for me. He was allowed to cross the ball first every time he got it, posed a little bit of a threat with regards to maybe people getting on the end of it. No one actually did, but that was the only real threat Stoke had of getting into the game. And then he brought on a few subs at the end and freshened things up. Fresh legs coming into it, and Jordan James scored an absolutely fantastic goal. Penalty from Jimenez made a 3-1. Jordan James then had a fantastic finish from a Fer Lopez assist as well. So great win. They play better teams in Stoke, but you still have to win, and you still have to get a little bit of confidence from the wins that you're getting at the moment and move forward. But the place, the crowd, just around the whole place at this moment in time, is there's a buzz about it. Good set of players that seem to want to play for the shirt. Definitely worked hard today for the side and for each other. So it's all good to see, and it's just falling into place nicely at the early part of the season. So it was definitely good to see today.
Yeah, I think to start the season like this with a draw and then two wins and sort of get Cesar Peixoto's campaign up and running is really important. Muchie, because of that hangover from last season, we couldn't have envisaged a poor start. God knows what the reaction would have been. But I think everyone's looking forward now. And I'm not saying everyone's forgotten what's gone on in the past, but it does feel like a new era and a new broom.
When you look at it, right, we all know it was a struggle last season, but there's a lot of players in the squad, which we touched on at the end of last season, that are far good enough to play at the Championship level. It's more about your attitude, whether you want to play for the club, you want to fight for the shirt, you want to fight for the team, you want to create a team spirit that's going to take you forward through the cold winter and beyond that. Preston's performance alone told me everything about what the players were about, what instructions they're being given, and the way they went about the job, I thought was excellent. And touching on Lopez, in the first game against Blackburn, right, I was absolutely delighted what I saw in him. I thought, what a footballer he is. And I mentioned to Robbie, because he said he'd been at the club last season, didn't really get an opportunity, went on loan somewhere. And I thought to myself, well, whoever let him go on loan, what's the red feeling? Because what a marvellous footballer. And as Robbie touched on before, if he can stay in the side, stay fit, the players show the attitude they're showing, or they showed at Preston, and obviously again today, it bodes for a good future. And it's nice that we can be talking about the club with less negativity, more positivity, winning games of football, because winning games of football is the real ingredient to having a happy club, and everyone's in it together, if that's one for a better word. We started off very well. And when you look at the players on the actual pitch, right, they all look accomplished, very good footballers, and they're showing physicality, which is very important in this league. That's only going to bode well. But keep your feet on the ground, keep working hard, take every game as it comes, as we say. Obviously, the next one's the hardest one, and it happens to be West Ham away, so...
You make some really good points there. It was great to see Jordan James get on the score sheet. I think we've got a little flavour there of what he's about. And I think as the weeks wear on and he becomes match ready, I think he's just not quite match ready. He'll probably be in the starting 11 soon enough. As for Fer Lopez, I think it actually helped the fact that he went on loan last season. I think he's not scarred by what's happened. I think if he had been thrown in the Premier League, it might not have gone well. It could have gone well, who knows? But if he'd have been thrown in a team that was failing every week, whereas now, I don't know what he was like today, Robbie, you know, what you saw from the stands, but last time I saw him at the Blackburn game, he was just smiling constantly all the time, enjoying being on the ball, loving getting the ball, and he just seems to be so happy to be here, and it's just great to see.
When someone's happy like that, Johnny, you get the best out of them, don't you? But for me, the Premiership last year, Wolves were never in control of games, were they really? He needs to be a player who's touching the ball a lot. He was dropping back a little bit and taking it off a centre half on the odd occasion, spraying it wide, just purely to so someone couldn't really man mark him. You know, I would say think sides maybe would look at it now and think we need to sort of man mark this lad because he's so good for the level. So he dropped back a little bit today. Got involved. His touches were amazing. Like really, some of the touches and some of his vision was absolutely fantastic. And if he keeps going like that, last season, Johnny, he just wasn't getting involved in games. Wolves were never in control of possession that they could get him further up the pitch and get him involved, and obviously create stuff for them. So that's really why it was best for him to get away. He was never going to get many minutes for Wolves last year in the Premiership, but this year, attacking wise, everything revolves around him. And if as I say, if he can, and it's great to watch. You know what I mean? We've had the Nevises, the Jotas, Matinhos, and all over in recent times, and absolutely fantastic players. But this lad, for me, could be up there with them. You know, he really is going to be a top player. And the longer Wolves keep him, the better it is for the club. And hopefully, we'll see a lot more of him.
Yeah, what I really like about him is the way when he receives the ball, he's not taking a touch necessarily just to get the ball. He's already sort of moving it on for his next bit of work. It's like he just sort of, it really flows and it's fluid. He reminds me, you know, Wayne Rooney was like that when he first burst onto the scene. And I know they're slightly different positions, but that sort of just gliding onto the ball and being on the half turn and that constant movement.
Yeah, he's aware of everything around him, Johnny. When the ball's coming to him, he knows when someone's going to try and close him quickly, or he's got space to turn and run at people, or there's a pass on. And you know the good players. The good players, 99 times out of 100, a lot of the times, make the right decisions. You know, whenever they've got an opportunity to, like for the fourth goal today, whenever he had an opportunity to lay Jordan James on a plate and he slotted it really, really well, he made the right choice and he just made it easy for Jordan James to hit the target. So things like that, you just look at him and making right decisions, but how graceful he is with it as well. He just looks an absolutely fantastic player. And as I said, a treat to watch today. And he has been all season so far.
Mochy, were there any beautiful footballers on the ball who could play with their left and the right in your day at Wolves? Were there anyone who had that ability to jink past a player, maybe put a nice cross in? I mean, I just can't think of any, can you?
Don't be embarrassing on me now, Mochy, come on.
I remember one player that was, you know, very good on the ball, played sort of, I think he played on the left side and he was right footed. He had some shots, he used to miss it and he went in now and again. I used to think, how did he do that, you know? But they come around, don't they? And, you know, Robbie was obviously in that ilk at 100%. But it's interesting what Robbie said a minute ago about Lopez, about us being more of a dominating team possession side so he can show his abilities and skills. I had a slight worry about Jimenez coming back to the club in the respect that, you know, if we dominate possession, we can get the best out of him. If we're not getting possession and he's fighting for the ball all the time, we're not going to see the best of Jimenez. And it's the same example. And hopefully, Raul's hit the ground running as well, scoring a few goals and contributing the way he has. And I did particularly like Armstrong when he came on wide at Preston. He played absolutely marvellous. It was a great interchange for his goal he scored when he came on. He did brilliant when he came on. And I thought Mane, or Mane if one calls him, I can't see the R in his name, but, you know, we'll call him Mane then instead of Mane. But I really do like him. His defensive qualities obviously aren't what he's on the pitch for, but he shows real ability. And funnily enough, I was talking to the fellow that works for Sky who played for Preston. What was his name, Johnny, again?
Oh, Neil Mellor.
Neil Mellor. I was talking to him after the match, ironically.
Good lad, Neil.
Nice fella. And he said, that lad on the wing there, Marley, said he's only 18. I says, yeah. He says, well, the manager needs to put him on the bench until the transfer window closes, he said. That's how impressed he was of him. Although,
was that with Marley, was it?
Yeah, he actually said that to me. And I was, I'm not saying I was surprised. He just made the comment, you know. He said, is he only 18, that Marley? And I says, yeah. He says, my goodness, he said, get him on the bench until the transfer window closes quick as you can.
Yeah, definitely. So
that was his compliment, you know, at the end of the day.
You should have swapped numbers with Neil. He loves his golf much. He's a member at Coldy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, right, down on the Wirral there.
I'm glad I didn't give him my number then.
He'd have been pestering you for a round at Hillside, wouldn't he?
Well, there you go.
He'd have been pestering you for a round, definitely. I mean, it's interesting he said that about Mane, because I actually think Mane's started the season a bit slowly. There were times at Blackburn, I thought he, in the Blackburn game, he was just waiting for things to happen. But I thought today he was better, and certainly, obviously, he showed a lot of determination and creativity for the goal that he created.
What I would say there, though, Johnny, I do understand what you're saying, but without blowing smoke, Robbie was that type of player for us. You get the ball to him on the left-hand side, and he would hold possession and just drift along with the ball, letting people catch up with play, so there's continuity within the side, you know. And Mane did an awful lot of that against Preston without actually really imposing himself on the game. He was getting the ball left side and he was running with it. He was staying balanced. The rest of the team were catching up with him, and then a ball would be played somewhere. So he wasn't the standout player, if you know what I'm saying. But indirectly, he did a very good job. We had a lad called John Jeffers when my last team I played for, Stockport County, on the left side, the winger. He played for Port Vale back in the day. And he used to dribble with the ball down the left and keep hold of it so we could all catch play up. And I thought Mane has done that, did that excellently well against Preston, I will say.
Can I just intervene before Robbie says anything? Just to go off subject, John Jeffers, there's a blast from the past. He went to the same school as me, SFX.
Did he really?
Yeah, SFX lad in Woolton.
Hey, what a footballer he was. What a cracking lad. He was a player, him, and he could dribble the ball down the line for ages and no one could get the ball off him. By that time, all those slow lads were up the pitch by then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was very good for Port Vale. He came up against Wolves a few times. I'm sure I watched him play against you. He was a good player. But sorry, that's going off on a Ronnie Corbett tangent. What were you going to say, Denno?
I was going to say, Johnny, I think Mane will end up playing inside at some point, won't he, really? That's going to be his best position. But I think he has showed good glimpses. I thought the Blackburn game, I thought he struggled a little bit with Muller-Wolf down the left-hand side, and the right-back for Blackburn had a great game against them. But you can see that they've actually worked on his defensive play as well, because today he was definitely tracking back a lot more. Defensively, he was a lot more solid than what he was in the Blackburn game. But also, I thought it was a really, really good combination of him and Bueno. Bueno, for me, is a very, very good footballer. Likes to get forward, likes to go and support Mane. And Mane isn't the type who's really going to run past fullbacks. So what you do want then is from your fullback supporting him either on the outside or maybe in the inside. And that gives Mane an option to pass in. So I thought today he was better than he was against Blackburn. But I think in the future, yeah, he'd probably come inside more than what he is out wide left. But unfortunately for him at the moment, for Lopez, he's getting all the plaudits inside and down through the middle. So, but he's definitely doing a good job for the team. And I think that you can see actually that he's been told and he's working harder on his defensive side of things as well.
What did you think of the press today, Robbie? We've done a little piece on the Wanderers Post about analysing the press today. I thought it was better than it was against Blackburn, but still not perfect. It's an interesting part of the game, the way that you can see they're ready to go, but they're waiting for certain triggers.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the triggers are, to tell you the truth. I thought whenever Stokes scored, I thought that set Wolves back a little bit too early on in the game. It does a little bit. But after 5 minutes, I thought the intensity Wolves really picked up. And they did go and press. They ended up winning the ball back in Stokes' half and ended up creating things from there, and they ended up scoring two goals then. So, but then once they got 2-1, I thought the press sort of stopped a little bit. The intensity dropped a bit, and especially up to half-time. And then second half, it was a bit, you know, Wolves scored 10 minutes in the second half, and then it's 3-1, and then the game's virtually over then. So they didn't have to show great energy and go and press. But I've yet to see it really where the goal in the press and you're really impressed by it, Johnny, if you know what I mean. I've seen it at times, but I haven't seen it probably over a period of a game of football yet.
Yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. It worked for the equaliser today, but there were a couple of moments where they might have jumped and Stoke went through them. But again, you know, what those triggers aren't always obvious. I think for the first goal, I think they were trying to get the ball out left and trap the fullback in. And then they really Gomez pounced and eventually he lost the ball and it went from there. But I mean, Muchie, it's going to take a while, isn't it? It's very much a work in progress, this Wolves team. And the fact that they've got where they are already at this stage, it just shows you maybe with one or two additions or even for example, someone like Krejci not going, although I think he probably will go before the window's out, Wolves could be a really, really, really good side in this championship this season and make a real challenge of it, where that wasn't necessarily in my thoughts, you know, before the season started.
What you have when you're relegated and the season has been what it was, there's a lot of negativity around the place. But like I said near the end of the season, you've got to give the chairman and the people above a little bit of time to organise things properly. I'm not sure what happened with the Rob Edwards situation, but let them get the ducks in a row to actually sort of start moving the club forward in the right direction, whichever way you want to look at that, you know what I mean? So leave them to do that, and that will take care of itself. We've got enough players of ability that are actually in the squad now to impose themselves on this league without a shadow of a doubt. But, you know, it's rode by the manager in it, and he looks at the players, what they're about, what their attributes are, and how to get them to actually work hard as a team. Because everyone's good in possession and they want to be a player and all the rest of it. But it's all the nasty bit that you need to be able to do. And what they've showed for me so far, you know, it was a battling performance against Blackburn. Blackburn really were tough cookies on the day, I thought. They thought they put up a good, very, very good performance. So you have to take that for what it is. And obviously the two games since, we've put a real good shift in. There's been some good individual performances and they've worked really hard and the supporters have got behind them as opposed against the team, right, or against the club in effect. So as you say, it's early days, but I have no doubt in my mind from what I've seen so far and what we've got, we're only going one way. We're going to get better and better and improve more and more, and as you alluded to there, whatever the gaffer's seen today, he's going to be on to them to improve that slightly, and it'll be an ongoing improvement right through the season, I suppose. You know, that's the way you have to look at it.
Much agree with that. They brought, what was it, five subs on about 20 minutes to go. One of those was Doyle, you had Traore, James and Armstrong. Now, they are very, very good players for that level, Mutty, right? And if you can obviously add maybe another couple to the squad, I don't know if Bueno's staying or not, Johnny. If he stays as a centre-half, that's another good cover for centre-halves. So you look at the squad that Wolves even put out today for the game today, that squad should do really, really, really well at this level, because it's all about having players who are better than the level. And I think Wolves have got a lot of players like that. In our time, much it was the same. We had a squad full of players who were better than that level. That's why we did really well. And then get them working hard for each other. And that's the crux of it, really. And if you can do that, then they can definitely challenge this season, definitely. With the squad of players that they had, they can definitely challenge. And it would be nice if they added another couple to it, just to even freshen things up a little bit more. But the squad that they have at this moment in time is definitely good enough to challenge.
What's important, you're right, Robbie, what's important, when the likes of Armstrong doesn't get his place against Preston, he didn't today, he's on the bench. Doyle the same. They have to show the attitude that it's a squad thing, and when their form comes and they get a run of games, they take their opportunity. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be in the side every week, because that's the way the game rolls now. But you hit the nail on the head, Robbie. When Doyle and Armstrong came on against Preston, right, they were marvellous. The contribution was superb. They knew exactly what they needed to do. They showed all the experience, all the tenacity that was required, all the discipline. And then you mentioned they come on today, and the young kid James comes on, the new signing, who's obviously contributed against Preston, and he's contributed. So as long as all these guys keep the feet on the ground, they show the discipline, they show the will to be part of a squad, whether you're actually in the 11 or you're not, because it's a bigger sort of game now what they do, where we had 11 players and a substitute and a mascot, didn't we? That's how lucky we were. The mascot came on for me and you a couple of times, didn't he, Robbie?
Yeah, he played better than us as well, didn't he?
You're not wrong, kid. you have to have that continuity, don't you?
Yeah, but I think, Mutty, you know, the leg of Armstrong, right, he looks at it, and Jimenez isn't going to play 46 games, is he? You know, no. What I mean? So Armstrong will get his opportunity. Doyle will get the opportunity. There's injuries all through the season. So these lads, if they keep ticking over and do well in training and do well when they do come on, over the period of the championship, the 46 games, they will get their opportunity. So it's it's nice to be talking positively about the whole thing instead of the negativity that we've had in recent times.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to be talking so positively about Wolves, and long may it continue. Really looking forward to seeing how they get on in the coming weeks as well. Just a few minutes left on this episode, so I think we ought to touch on a couple of sad moments as well that we've had in recent weeks with the passing of Phil Parks, Lofty, and then also his captain at Wolves, Mike Bailey, two absolute legends of the 70s, and people that you knew as well, Robbie.
Yeah, Parksy was a great lad. He's just a great lad. Anytime you bumped into him or whatever, and it was normally over a beer, wasn't it really? And as you say, legend of the club. And one thing that sticks in my mind, Johnny, the group of lads that they had then with John Richards and Steve Daly and Jeff Palmer and Derek Park and all those, they're very, very close even now, you know what I mean? I did a Q&A with them. Must have been about 18 months ago, and they were all on the stage, and I was looking at it and thinking, you know, that's what it's all about. That's what the game's all about. You know, the friendships that you have, and they were very, very close together. And unfortunately, you know, Parksy's been struggling a little bit for a while now, and unfortunately we lost him as well. And Mike Bailey, didn't really know Mike Bailey, Johnny, but obviously just reading between the lines, fantastic captain, fantastic leader with the club. And obviously, it's sad when this happens, but they were absolute legends for the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Yeah, it's an end of an era, really, Muchie, when you lose a great captain and obviously a keeper that I think broke the club record for consecutive appearances as well. But obviously, it is the passing of time. But Mike Bailey, those who played with him say he was one of the most outstanding skippers the club's ever had, and they really put a lot of credence in that. He said it was Bailey who used to drag the side up and lead by example. And they felt, you know, players like John Richards, Kenny Hibbert, when I've spoken to them about Bailey, they've always said that they sort of felt obliged almost to work for him and play for him.
Well, in our day, it's everybody's era, isn't it? Our era was the late 80s, 90s type. And then you go back to the 70s with Lofty, John Richards, Kenny Hibbert, Willie Carr, all the lads, Jeff Palmer. What Robbie said is so notable. You sort of pass each other, and you don't know each other if you understand what I'm saying. But when we've all finished playing and then we're coming back to the old reunions, the golf days, the this, that and the other, you get to know these fellas. And what, as Robbie said, what a great bunch of guys they were, close together, or they are close together. Lofty was right in the middle of all them. As Robbie said, I didn't quite know Mike Bailey, but the respect he was getting from all his fellow colleagues, not just as he's passed, but speaking about him when we'd all get together, proved what type of guy that he was and what type of a captain he was. Lofty himself, a real character, you know, really sad what happened. He had troubles over the last 18 months. He moved around hospitals. I was fortunate enough to go and see him a couple of times to see how he was. And amazingly, he was still upbeat about everything. But he's actually stuck in a hospital in a real sad situation. It's a very, very sad, and rest the souls, both of the guys.
Yeah, very well said, both of you. We're going to wrap up there. It's great to get back and chat about football and chat about positive football as well. Do check out the Wanderers post as well, because we're going to be sticking this podcast on that. So it's your one-stop shop for all you need to know about Wolves over the season. But thanks very much, Robbie and Andy, and we'll catch up soon. We'll get these started again quite regularly after our summer break. And now the weather's going to turn, I'm going to get a bit of rain, we'll all be in and can meet up a bit more and get a few more of these. But thanks for now, lads.
It won't be turning in Spain next week, Johnny. It'll be 32 it'll be 32 degrees next week, so I'll be fine, mate. Don't worry about me.
I hope so, Robbie, lad.